You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I've got a simple message for you tonight. Brother Osteen, my pastor, John Osteen, used to always say, this morning, excuse me, man, I'm calling Jim Scalise, Jim Graft, and I'm saying tonight, this morning, and oh well. All right, when I quote Scripture, you can count on that being right, okay? So that's why you need to follow along. But Brother Osteen used to say, that was our pastor, wasn't it? Okay, just want to make sure. Brother Osteen used to say, I got cornbread and beans for you. You know, nothing special. Maybe we used to steak and potatoes, but sometimes we just need cornbread and beans. Amen. Of course, he always lied. It was always good. It was always steak. And there's no such thing as a cornbread and bean meal in the Word. It's all good.
That's right.
Amen? And so I've got a message maybe seems simple for you, but maybe you've heard it. But it's good nonetheless.
Amen. That's right.
Proverbs 3. You're looking at me real funny. What am I doing? My hair out of place?
Yeah.
Okay. Look good?
Good,
all right.
Yeah.
Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Turn there if you will. Let this sink down into your ears. Receive this as it is in truth, the Word of God, not the word of men. Hallelujah. Which effectually works in you that believe. Believe it and receive it. Amen?
Yes.
Proverbs 3, notice the first verse says, my son, do not forget my law. I mean, you can have a camp meeting on that word, forget. Don't forget. I think most of the things in life that we need to make it with, most things we've heard in life that will put us over in life, we just forget. We forget the basics. We forget the simple things. A crisis comes up. We're in the middle of it. It's gone on for days, and somebody says, hey, we need to pray about this. My Lord, we forgot to pray.
Yeah.
Are you with me? You know, just simple things like that. We need to not forget God's law or God's word. Now, this is something you have to work at. If God says don't forget, then He knows that things left to themselves, all things being equal, we're going to forget unless we pursue remembering, unless we attempt or try to remember, put our efforts into through studying, through teaching, through repetition, through sharing our faith, through praying. We remember. We go over and over things, and that's what we remember. We always forget what we don't go over and over.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Amen? So if he says here, forget not my law, then evidently it's understood that we're supposed to be keeping it in front of us, keeping it in front of our eyes, as Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Amen.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. But there is a reminding in that Psalms 1. There is a principle of meditating day and night. There's a principle of continuing to keep it before your eyes.
Yeah.
You know, Brenda was quoting Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. You got to keep them in front of your eyes, though. You got to attend to them with your ears.
Amen.
Are you with me? You've got to study them. And if you'll do so, you'll not forget them. Psalms 103, I think, of Psalms 103, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is in me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Many of us in the church today have forgotten some of God's benefits. We know about some. You know, we preach some, but some we've just forgotten. We know about eternal life. We may know about peace, but in many places we forgot about healing. We forgot that God's a healing God. Hallelujah. That God also prospers us. There are many benefits. And God says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not all His benefits. That third verse of Psalms 103 says this. It says, who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases.
Amen.
Don't forget. So here He's saying, forget not my law. Well, not forget something, there's a whole lot in there. Amen. There's a lot that's implied that's not necessarily out front telling us step by step, but you know and I know that if we're not going to forget something, we're going to have to commit ourselves to remember. We're going to have to do things to keep it in front of us. Brenda mentioned earlier as she was praying, that you ought to find the promise, and you ought to write it on a card, put it in front of you where you can see it to remind yourself of that. Sometimes you can put it on a mirror, you know, in your bathroom mirror. You look at that every day. Well, put Amanda used to do this. She'd have some scripture she would put right on the bottom of the mirror in her bathroom, so every day she'd see that. You know, you could put it on your car, the dashboard of your car. Just don't cover up the mile speedometer. But, you know, put it somewhere where you see it. A lot of you, from looking at you and not pointing anybody out, you could probably put it on your refrigerator. It looked like you frequent that often. But anyway.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't forget. Thank you, Lord. Come on now. Stay with me here. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. I love that. Don't do lip service to God. Let you have some passion, have some heart about you. Really fall in love with Him, in love with His Word. Let your heart keep it. You want to. I desire to serve God. I want to do what's right. I don't want to just do it because I know it'll make everybody else happy. It'll make me look good. They'll think I'm spiritual. I want to do it because I love His law.
Amen.
Woo! Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Amen. There was somebody that was hungry for the Word. Yeah. They wanted to hear something from God. Hallelujah. And that's our attitude. That's the way we ought to come. We come hungry. Hallelujah. We come with desire. We come with passion.
Right.
And you know, I've said this many times, but I heard it years ago. Every church service you ought to come, every church service you come to, you ought to have two things in mind. You ought to come hungry.
Yeah.
And you ought to come willing to change.
Amen.
Because invariably, if you come to church and you're hungry and you're going to eat what's put out on the table here, it's going to make a change in your life. It really is. In fact, if you're listening to what God's saying, He's going to speak to you and you're going to hear something. You're going to say, you know, I need to change that. I need to do better here. I need to do better there. I need to apply that in my life. So you ought to always come with that intent. Always, really, always come knowing this. Knowing this, you're going to hear something that you need to change in your life.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's get more committed to God, whether it's forgive someone you hadn't been forgiven, whether it's believe God you hadn't been believing, whether it's walking holy and getting rid of this sin that you've been committing, whatever the case is, this is a good thing. Because when God changes us, we're not talking about politically here. This is not a campaign for the presidency. When God talks about change, He's talking about real change. He's talking about change for the better, not for the worse. He's talking about change that'll make you a better a witness, a better light.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And make you a better daddy, better husband, better mama, better wife, better brother, sister, whatever the case may be. He's going to make you the best you can be. God will always help you be better.
Amen.
He'll always help you to be like Jesus. Amen. So we don't want to forget His law, but we want to keep our hearts. We want to let our hearts keep His commandments. See, I have a passion for the Word because I know if I get a hold of it, my life's going to be better. It may not be, you know, what I necessarily like at the moment. Maybe what it says is hard at the time. Maybe what it says is it's going to require me to make some adjustments and get discipline. But I love His Word, and I know it's right. And I know if I'll make those adjustments and I'll make those changes, this is going to be the best thing for me and for my family and for the church and for this world I live in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So my heart, see, my heart's in it. My heart's in the Word. My heart keeps His commands. We're talking deep down, the innermost part of your being, your passion, your heart. See, the Word ought to be a treasure inside of you. You ought to treasure the Word. Love it. Love the Word. I love the Word. Hallelujah. This is not Baptist work. This is not Pentecostal work. This is not International Outreach Church work. This is God's Word. Thank God for all these churches. But this is God's Word. You don't need a second opinion. There's no other God to go to. With doctors, you can get a second opinion. With God, there is no second opinion.
Amen.
When He says it, that's the way it is. Hallelujah. So don't forget it now. Don't forget what He said. You know, you get around famous people, it's amazing. They may say just three or four statements, but you hang on every word. You ever notice that? 20 years later, you can remember exactly what they said. You have such an awe and respect for that person. You hold them in such esteem, whether a celebrity or a famous person or whatever. You had one short conversation. They never remember what they said, but you remember every word because of your opinion of them, because of your worship of them, as it were, your respect, your honor for them. I mean, just little things. You know, someone you look up to, you remember little things that they said because you're just hanging on every word. I can remember conversations with Brother Osteen years ago. You know, man, I remember every detail. I just remember everything. It was just because I had such a respect for him. You know, he didn't talk much, but when we did, I remember what he said. Little things that he would say. We were talking to Dodie after the funeral. Brenda and I and Jan went up and talked to her. And Dodie was, of course, you know, what she always says, "I'm so proud of y'all. I'm just so proud of y'all." She always says that. But then she was talking to Jan, and she's talking to Jan and says, "Love that tie. It's just a beautiful tie." And Jan was talking to his wife, I guess, or one of the kids on the phone later who going back, and we were just talking to him. He said, "Oh, we talked to Dodie, and you know, she's so sweet. She said she liked my tie." Well, I mean, we have respect for Dodie. I honor her. I love her. I mean, and just a little thing like that, won't forget. I thought, well, how sweet of her to notice his tie. Just a little thing. But our amount of respect and honor for a person affects our ability to remember what they say.
That's good.
Very good. Oh, yeah, we're going somewhere now, aren't we? I just can't remember Scripture. Well, I know the problem. Okay? I can tell you something that will help you. You need to fall in love with Jesus. Hello. Now, I didn't say it to hurt you. I said that to help you. Because I'm the same way. A lot of times I read and I'm not paying a bit of attention. But if I'm focusing on who's saying this, and if I'm focusing in on the one who told me this, I'll hang on every word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll hang on every word.
Amen.
So that's why he's saying, let your heart keep his commandments. See? Really, if God's got your heart, he's got everything else. There's all kinds of things we could do here, but if he's got your heart, ooh, glory to God, he's got you.
Yeah, come on.
I could bring somebody in here off the street. We could set them right here beside Brenda. Depending on how they smell, but we'll talk about that later. But I'd set them beside Brenda. Hope they smell pretty good. We've had people actually gave them shirts to wear that came in. But we could make them lift their hands. We could sit them on the front row. We could have somebody, Eva could stand behind them and hold her hands up during the worship service. Make them lift their hands. Offering comes along, she could grab their wallet. I'm not asking you to do this, Eva, just if this ever happens, but grab the wallet, open it up, take that money, and put it in the offering. Every time I said something needed amen, she could slap him upside the head and say amen. Amen. I could give the invitation. Somebody grab them, walk them down here. You say this, say this. And they could say all the words. But you know what? If their heart wasn't in it, it wouldn't make one bit of difference. They could go through all the motions. Sometimes we do the same thing. Go through, oh yes, amen. Yes, hallelujah. Now I want hallelujahs and I want amen, so don't stop giving them. But sometimes we just do them kind of nervously. I've been in service when the preacher's preaching, he talks about somebody dying, somebody goes, amen. Amen. They're not paying attention. They're just amening, you know. Oh, sister so-and-so, we found out she got cancer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm thinking, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? Saying amen to that. That's just kind of a nervous tick. We don't want a nervous tick, but we do want amens from the heart. Amen.
Amen.
Now we're getting it. Okay. We want to say hallelujah from our heart. We want to say amen from our heart. But see, you got to be paying attention. What are you amening? What are you hallelujah?
Amen.
Now you're going to be thinking every time you say that. Ooh, did I mean that? Because really when you say amen, you're saying so be it. You're saying you agree with that. Amen. And hey, that's okay if it's from your heart, but that's what God wants. He wants you to serve Him from your heart. God doesn't just want action. He doesn't want just your body and your money. He wants your heart, hallelujah. Because if He has your body, your heart, He'll get your body. If He has your heart, He'll get your money. That's no problem. I mean, we don't have to beg you to give or, you know, beat you over the head about tithes and offerings. Well, listen, we don't even want your money if you don't love Jesus. Come on. People get all mad and upset about, oh, come on, just keep your money. Listen, if you love Jesus, come on, we're going to have an offering here. We do it every service. We want you to give if you love the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But if you don't, we don't want your money.
Right.
And God doesn't either, because it won't really do any good. God wants your heart.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
And when that happens, everything else just comes along. Amen? So that's why he's talking like this, and you see this all through the Scripture, about loving the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Hallelujah. We ought to love Him with every fiber of our being. He says here, I've got several verses I want to get to. I'm going to get past this first one. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Woo! The Word of God will do that. God's commands will do that. God's commands will give you strength and give you hope when you seemingly are in a hopeless situation. When desperation tries to set in, When defeat and despair tries to roll in like a cloud over your life, the Word of God will hurl it back like a light shining in a dark place. The entrance of God's Word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. When you think about it, what he's saying here really is he won't just give you a length of days, he'll give you quality of life. It's not always the amount of days. How's that go? It's the amount of days that you live your life. It's how much life you live in your days. It's not always how many breaths you take each moment in life. It's how many moments take your breath away in life. I love that. And so we can live a long life, sure, and I believe God wants that, but we can live quality life too.
That's right.
I mean, we can live a life fulfilled, a life with peace, a life with comfort, a life with strength. How? Through His Word. Because no matter what happens, I know I have a promise. No matter what happens, I know God's with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's with me to the ends of the earth. In fact, I've never been alone a day in my life since the day I got saved.
Amen.
Greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. He gives me the victory through Christ Jesus. He always caused me to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that I'm born of God because I believe Jesus is the Christ. And it says whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world.
Amen.
This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. Oh, I may face trials. Life's full of trials. Life's got rough edges. Life's got bumps and bruises. I may fall, but a righteous man falls and rises seven times.
Amen.
Think about it. I'll rise again. I'll rise again. You'll rise again. I can make it. Hallelujah. I've got some life in my days here. I've got length of days, and I got long life, and I got peace because God's Word adds peace to me. You know, Isaiah 48 tells us, 48:17, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, that teacheth thee to profit, that leads thee by the way that thou shouldest go. The 18th verse says, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been like a river, and thy righteousness like the waves of the sea. My. God's Word brings peace like a river. Remember that old song? I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. Y'all do remember that song, don't you? I got peace like a river in my soul, down in my soul. Well, I do. I've got it. How about you? It comes from His Word. It comes from Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee. See, peace is a matter of focus. When do we lose our peace? We lose our focus. We look at the circumstance. We hear the bad report. We focus in on that instead of the Word, instead of God, instead of His willingness and His, you know, compassion and love to help us, the God of hope, the God of comfort. We lose our focus and we lose our peace. Well, He'll keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind stayed on Him. Amen. If we'll hearken to His commandments, our peace will be like a river. And our righteousness will be like the waves of the sea. In other words, it just keeps hitting us one wave after another. Hallelujah. Just nonstop. Let it come. Woo! So, length of days and long life and peace, God's Word. They, God's law. They, God's promises. You want peace? You want to live long and prosper, as Spock says? I can tell you how you can do it. And this is not science fiction either. This is not a movie nor a television series. This is the truth. This is the Word. This is how you can do it. You can live long and prosper from God's Word.
Amen.
By putting God's Word in your life and making God's Word first place. They, God's Word, they, His Word, will add peace, long life, and length of days to you. I'll tell you, it's blessed me. It's blessed me over the years. I remember when I accepted Jesus over 30 years ago, 33 years ago. I accepted Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I came out of darkness into light. I came out of a lost situation, drugs. I came out of jails. I came out of just a nowhere road. I was going down and going down fast. Chris was just a little baby at that time. And Brett and I had just been married a couple years, I guess, at that time. We've been married 35 years this year. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because of we just have a strange and wonderful relationship. She's wonderful and I'm kind of strange. But no, come on now. I just got through talking about amen. And when you're, you know, did you mean that? Yes, hallelujah. But God has been good to us. God's been good to me. God's been good to our family. God's been good to us. He's never failed us. He's never fallen short. He's never left us. He's been a faithful friend. He's been a... He has provided for us. He has healed us. He has done miracle after miracle, time and time again. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I've had length of days, and I've had long life, and I've got more long life and more length of days coming, and there's no reason to believe He won't be there tomorrow. He'll be there tomorrow like He was there yesterday, like He's there today. Praise God. It's good. It's good, 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 good. God is good. It pays to serve Him. It pays to remember what He said. It pays to put His Word first in your life. We have proved Him over and over again, and I can't wait to continue to prove Him day after day. Our children are serving God. We've got a great church. I'm telling you, I got a great life.
Yes, sir.
I am grateful. I am thankful. I have a wonderful, wonderful. I have a wonderful life. I mean, are there challenges? Of course there are. Have we had battles? Absolutely, everybody has those. But I am thankful for my life. I am thankful for what God has done in us. I was a wreck. I mean, you see us up here, and you see our family, and you see all this church, and it's wonderful. My God, it's wonderful. I'll be the first to admit that. But see, I was nothing without Jesus. We were nothing without Jesus. Any good in our life came from Him.
Amen.
This is what I preach, service in and service out. I mean, week in and week out, every day. We stand in this pulpit and tell you what a difference Jesus can make in your life. He's made a difference in ours. He can make a difference in yours.
Amen.
And the difference is Him.
That's right.
It's Him and His Word, His promises.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, don't give up hope. No. Maybe you just started out. That's okay. Maybe you're just in the first grade. That's fine. Everybody goes through the first grade. Just don't stay there. Let's just go on to second grade now. Amen. You got to start somewhere, and that's fine. Maybe you just come out of some stuff. Maybe it's just your first day. That's fine. Everybody had a first day.
That's right.
But I'm here to tell you, I've been here a few days, and they just get better and better.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And it's the truth, and it works. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, there's two verses. Third verse. The third verse says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Oh my, don't give up on mercy. Come on, be merciful. I will guarantee at the end of your life, when you get ready to go on to be with the Lord, and someone were to ask you what regrets you might have in life, one of your regrets will never be, I wish I was a little harder on people. I just have a hard time believing that's going to be the case. I believe we ought to stand for something. I'm not saying we ought to just let everybody do what they want to do. We stand for righteousness in this church and holiness in this church and holy living in this church. I believe right is right and wrong is wrong. And in the same breath, I can say homosexuality is a sin, an abomination to God. In the same breath, I can say that if you're homosexual, come to Jesus. God will forgive you and restore you. Come on, we'll take you right here at International Outreach Church. If you're willing to repent, you're willing to come to Jesus. In the same breath, I can tell you adultery will destroy your life and destroy people's lives, and it is a sin before God. It is wrong. Adultery is not right, in any case, ever right. In the same breath, I can tell you, if you committed adultery, come on, we'll help you. If you're willing to repent, you come to Jesus, we don't care about your past. God loves people, hates sin.
Amen.
In the same breath, I can say prostitution, selling your body like that, is just an abomination, really, when you think about it. In that same breath, I can say, but if you're a prostitute and you want to come to Jesus, come on, our doors are open.
Yes.
Amen.
Are you with us? See, that's the love of God. We stand for something, but we're merciful. They took that woman caught in the very act of adultery, threw her down at Jesus' feet, and says, the law says, stone her, what do you say? And He says, well, let him without sin cast the first stone. You see, they were picking the law apart, but they weren't getting the spirit of the law. That was not the spirit of the law. That was not what God intended. And we pick and choose sometimes with scriptures, and we're not getting the spirit of what God said. We don't really have it in our heart. A lot of times people are just mad, and they want to find a scripture to back them up. The letter killeth. The spirit gives life. Jesus looked right at them and said, let him without sin cast the first stone. They walked out from the eldest to the youngest because... get a little older, you don't have as much pride as you do when you're younger. I'm not saying I don't have pride, but I can guarantee I don't have what I used to have. I used to be primo in that. Anybody got, come on, you know what I'm talking about? Did you have a little more pride when you were younger? Come on. I'm not saying I've reached the height of humility here. Let me preach to you. Humility. Humility and how I attained it. Well, you just lost it when you said that. I mean, I'm working on it too, but you know what? I've gotten a lot better than I was. I'm improving. But they walked out from the eldest to the youngest. And then that woman said to Jesus, Jesus asked the woman, says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She said, "Well, Lord, there are none." And he was still there. And he says, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." He didn't condone her sin. It was wrong. In fact, he told her not to do it again. But he received her. See, we got to reach that point in the church where we receive people, no matter where they came from or what they've done, no matter what they look like. Did you know some people look funny? Hello? They don't look just like us. I don't know why God didn't make everybody just like me. But He did. But that's okay. God said. Oh, boy. I am preaching up in your church, right? In July, is that right? Okay. All right, so I want to make sure. I'm just writing some things down here I want to say, when I get to Good News Fellowship in July. All right. Woo, hallelujah. Boy, have I got a message. In fact, I'm getting one right now. But anyway, we're all different. That's okay. That's a good thing. Amen? We've got to learn to love people. We hate sin, love sin. Mercy, mercy. Mercy is what he's talking about here. Everybody say mercy. So he says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart." Get this deep down inside of you. God is good and His mercy endures forever. God's a merciful God. Was He merciful to you? Do you remember when you came to Jesus? Boy, I do. I remember when I came. I will never forget when I came to Jesus. I'll never forget all the pain I caused before I accepted Jesus. I'll never forget how wicked I was, how inexcusable the things I did were. I will never forget that. I will never forget the lives that I ruined before I got saved. I'm thinking of people that I did wrong, that I ruined their lives. I mean, really, I can think of that now. I can remember a funeral of a friend I went to before I got saved and he went to hell. And I was a part of that. I was a party to that. I mean, I can think of situations. I know a friend of mine committed suicide. Another one, during those days. A real good friend of mine. We did drugs together and I was lost. And I can think of all that. But you know what? God didn't bring all that up. I can't undo all that. You can't undo the past. You can't. See, someone had to pay the price for your sin. You couldn't pay it. And somebody did, and his name was Jesus. And you know what God was to me when I came to Him? He was merciful to my sin. He was merciful to me. And He says, "That was wrong, son, but if you'll come to me, I'll give you a new life."
Yeah. Amen. Glory to
God. And I passed from darkness to light.
Yes. Amen.
From the power of the devil to the power of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I got saved, light came, darkness went. I became a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. And now I got a mission. I'm going to help people go to heaven instead of go to hell. I'm going to heal and help and be a part of the answer instead of part of the problem. I'm going to make a mark for Jesus before I die. I want to make a difference. I want to turn that around. Hallelujah. I want to make it count. I want to make it count. We were talking about this the other day, that movie Saving Private Ryan. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I'm not recommending you watch it. It's a really gory movie, but it's true to form. It's what it was like there in wartime. And this young Private Ryan, there were four men that went out, several that went out, tried to find him, four in particular the movie centers in on. They had to find Private Ryan because his brothers had gotten killed. And the government had said, "We got to save this man. We got to get him back to his house. He's the only man left in his family. We can't have him die out here in the battle." And so they went to great lengths to find him. They finally got him, and yet every one of them died trying to save Private Ryan. And the last one to die, of course, I think Tom Hanks was the last one to die. And he says, what did he say? Make your life earn this. He said, "Earn this. Earn this." And he died, and Private Ryan lived. And the movie shoots to the end of his life. He's an old man. He's kneeling beside a grave. Some unknown soldiers out there. And he's looking back at his wife and his kids and grandkids. He's saying, "Have I been a good man?" Have I been a good man? And have I earned it? The point he was making was, did I make it count? Let me tell you something. Jesus died for your sins. You ought to make it count. He went to great lengths for you to live, go to heaven. Actually, he went to hell for you and rose the third day. Now, earn this. You can't be good enough. Stay with me. That's not what we're saying. But you ought to make a difference. You ought to make it count. Hallelujah. Somebody paid for your freedom. Freedom's never free. Even in this country. Thank God for the United States of America. I love this country. I love America. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm a patriot in that sense. I love this country. I love the American flag. I love the American government. It's not perfect, of course not, but it is the United States of America. God bless this country. God bless this nation. I'm standing here because people died on battlefields so I could stand and preach to you today. So I can walk around free in this country. Yes, freedom's never free. It costs something. And I'll tell you, your spiritual freedom costs the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God is asking you to do something very simple. He's telling you, be merciful. Yeah. I was merciful to you. Yeah. We don't hate people. We love people.
That's right.
Woo!
Amen.
Mm. Good preaching, man, I'm having a tough time getting through this message. Good. I remember somebody told me years ago, when we started our church, we've been going just a couple of years, and somebody had come visit our church. They had a pretty rough background, and I had seen this person of another church that went to another church. And they said, oh, I heard so-and-so came to your church. I said, yeah, they've been coming and doing real good. And they said, well, they came over to our church, but they really didn't fit in. And I never will forget. The person said, I'm glad they finally got over. I'm glad they found a church they could fit in. Glad to hear they're doing good.
Yeah.
And it was like it was a backwards insult or whatever it was, but I looked at him, I said, well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
we are that kind of church.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'd love to have that title. International Outreach Church, Garbage Collectors. Yeah, we're like a recycling place. We'll take anybody. We'll take you if you got a lot of money. We'll take you if you don't have any money. We'll take you if you're a doctor. We got doctors in here. Dr. Galloway, Dr. Burr's in here. We'll take you. I don't care if you dig ditches, don't even have a job. You see, it doesn't matter. God doesn't see any of that. I mean, thank God he's blessed you in a certain area, but no one's any better than anybody. Are you kidding? I remember Ken, the first day Ken came. He'd been straight for 1 week. He just got out of jail. He'd been in prison and, you know, and he's on drugs and still looked a little loopy when he came in. I was going to say he still looks a little that way now, but I'm not going to say, no. No, Ken's back in the sound room. But I remember when Ken came. I remember talking to him back at the back of the church. Dale brought him, Dale and Cheryl. I guess they're in Children's Church this morning, up in Children's Church. They brought him, and he came. And, you know, I looked at Ken, and he was telling me he wants to get right with God. He's getting right with God. I think he's been serving God a week. Is that right? Yeah, about a week, you know, and he was still kind of shaking. He's still kind of nervous, you know, all that stuff he'd been on and everything. And I remember telling him, I said, well, Ken, you need to quit hanging around all the people you hung around with. You need to start getting new friends, you get your new association, new fellowship. And I remember telling him, I said, if you don't do that, you're not going to be able to do this. But if you'll do that, you'll be able to serve God.
Amen.
And you know what? That was 2 years ago, and that is our sound man back there at the back serving God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, when Ken come in, some church said, man, get that guy out of here. My God, I'm proud of Ken.
Yeah, that's right.
I can think, Brother Ocean told me this one time to me, and I can say this about Ken. You know what? And I think about whether we're doing any good or not.
There you go.
I look at Ken, I know we're doing some good. And we can just point anybody out here. I mean, we just take every one of you and say, we are doing some good.
Amen.
Here's a changed life. Here's someone that turned their life over to God. Here's someone that came out of drug jails. Here's someone that repented of adultery or whatever the case. We can go right down the list. I mean, come on, it's sin. If you repent of it, God will forgive you.
Amen.
He can give you a whole
Amen.
New life. The church is about mercy.
Yes.
And it's about restoration.
Amen.
It's about helping people.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
And if we don't forsake that, notice what it says will happen. If we write this on the table of our heart, we don't forsake it, we bind it upon our neck, mercy and truth. Fourth verse says we'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Well, God will be pleased, that's for sure. We'll get favor with him. But you know what? We'll find favor with people. People will love to come to International Outreach Church. They'll love to come in these doors because they'll know they'll be loved. They'll know they'll be helped. They'll know they'll be forgiven. Yes, they're going to be corrected. Sure, there's going to be correction and instruction and rebuke. But in love, it's going to be coming. And they'll know they can make it. And they can change their life. Hallelujah. And we'll have favor. People always gravitate toward people that help them and lift them. And appreciate them. People want to be appreciated. They want to be helped. They want to hope, know there's hope. They want to know there's a way out. Are you kidding? People in sin, they don't like it. I mean, they're deceived by it, but they just don't know they can get out of it. A lot of them are so beat down, they don't know God loves them. They don't know the church will take them. They don't know there's any hope for them. And we of all people, we don't need to be looking down our nose at people. We need to be merciful to people.
Amen.
Merciful to the lost.
Yes.
We need to seek and save that which is lost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if we'll do that, well, we'll get favor. They'll come from miles around to a place like this. Amen. They are coming from miles around to a place like this to get hope, to hear they can make it. Praise God.
Mm.
Man, you know, I'm just going to have to quit this. I'm not going to be able to get through here. But he goes on and he says, I'll tell you, we'll take a couple of verses here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. That's where you get in trouble anyways when you try to figure it out yourself and you don't trust God and you don't believe what he says. That goes all the way back to the first where he says, forget not my law. Remember what I said. You need to trust in me, not you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That same word, that word in the Hebrew, trust, it means confidence, it means boldness. You know the scripture in Proverbs 21 where it says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion? That's the same word. That's a fascinating word. Trust. Trust God. Trust God. I believe in Psalms 37 it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. That's that same word, too. It denotes a confidence and a boldness. It's not just, you know, trust, just generically with nothing added to it. It's a trust of boldness and confidence. We boldly trust God.
Amen.
And we boldly lean not to our own understanding. Amen? Yep. We confidently trust the Lord. And you can have confidence in God that He will always do what He says, that He knows more than you do, and that He will bring you through this thing. Brother Osteen used to say this all the time. He said the greatest revelation he ever received from God was, and then he'd really play it up, and Brother Osteen was a lot more animated than I am, and a lot more a greater preacher than I am. He'd preach, man. He would just run from one side to the other and bounce up and down, get you so excited. And before he'd give you the answer to a question that was really profound, you know, he'd say, how many of you really want to know what the greatest revelation is I ever received from God?
Come on.
And everybody would go, yeah, yeah. He said, well, if you really, really, really want to know, lift up your left hand. Everybody would lift up. Oh, praise the Lord. But now if you really, 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 really want to know, lift up your right hand. And here comes the right hand. You know, and he's looking at you the whole time. You're just mesmerized. You know, you go, okay, oh, okay, what is it? Do you really want to know now? The greatest revelation that I ever received from God. Well, now that you got your left hand, your right hand lifted, stand up. Boy, this time we're going, okay, what is it?
Yeah.
And here it is. God is smarter than I am. And we're going, that's it? But you know what? That's a big revelation. That's a revelation most people never get. And that's what God's saying. Trust in me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in other words, God's smarter than I am. But if you'll do that, that's just profound, isn't it? You got it. Pastor Dan came all the way down from Michigan to get that revelation. And the Lord knows he needed it too. Well, he says, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, 6th verse, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I just got to close that. It's just we just go on. Every verse is so good. But if you will, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you will acknowledge God, and that's our problem. We don't always do that. We go through a crisis. We don't pray. We don't come to God. We don't turn it over to him. But if you'll acknowledge God in all your ways, he will direct your paths. If you need direction, it comes from God. Amen. It all comes down to your heart. You know, if I say anything, sell out. Just sell out. Come on, press in. There was a woman with issue of blood that pressed in. She pressed through the crowd. There's a song, you know, that sings. I love that song. She pressed in. She pressed in. You got to press in. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you throw the towel in. Don't you turn around. You stay focused. You keep looking at Jesus. You keep pressing in. You keep pressing in. You keep pressing in. And when you get to Him, you get your answer. And He is reachable. He is attainable. His arms are out there. In fact, He is the one that's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and have a laden, and I'll give you rest. Hallelujah. He loves you. Amen.